Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. I'm Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How are you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad we're doing this show again.
Boy, me too. It's been a while. It's been quite a while.
We've had nothing but complications. Also, we got Justin Fick on the horn. Justin Fick, how's it going, of Kill Monty fame?
Pretty good. How's it going, fellas?
Justin Fick, I understand your moniker is about to change pretty soon.
Oh, my moniker is about to change many, many times in the very near future.
More about that later.
Yeah, saving that power.
All right. Well, good deal. Guys, let's see. It's the top of the show. We got to go over the things. If you're new to the show, hadn't heard in a while, maybe you just need a little refresher. Let's talk about what we do here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Remind ourselves.
That's right. I need a refresher. We talk about the world of video games, put a comedic spin on it, but listen to the fucking phone ring because it's not... Hello? A dick! How do I fucking
tell your mom I said hello?
Alright, let's see. What was it? Oh, also, guys, don't forget, you gotta vote for us at Podcast Alley. You can find links for that in the show notes and on the site. Finally, you might think, it's time for this week's news. No! Some of you may have forgotten because it's time for battle!
Probably up there in like the three biggest challenges of my life, along with being born and playing Mega Man for the first time.
And you just must say two words. I accept.
I accept.
I accept.
I accept this challenge.
Okie dokie.
Well, I'm done going on a hot date with my wife.
Look, that plan is over.
That plan is done.
I'm about to go on a hot date. No!
No!
You've got cancer again!
All right. This week, we're going to be calling up Joe Rickey. Blake Buck, why don't you read off his email?
So he's our most recent entrant, so that may have worked to his disadvantage because he is going to be the first one in my inbox. Okay, let's read his email here. Great show. I'm a new listener, but I've already gone through all 31 BDPE shows at least four times. 31? Jesus. Has it been that long? I sleep better every night knowing that one day I will wake up to the ring of my cell phone and hear battle. I've already told work that I am on call for something that is bigger and greater than all of us, and that I have to be prepared.
Well, we'll see if Joe is actually ready for battle. I'm going to call him up here, guys. You ready?
You were ready to make his Christmas wishes come true.
All right, I'm ready.
No, we're ready. All right, here he comes.
Oh, man. I forgot how much fun this is.
This is like prank calling people who know you're prank calling them, and it still works.
Is this Joe Rickey?
Ricci.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like the actress.
Like the actress. Well, Joe Ricci, this is the best damn podcast ever. How you doing?
I am amazing right now.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for you, you were the first person in Blake Buck's inbox when he did a search for battle, which means you are our next victim. Do you accept?
Absolutely.
All right, well, here we go. Since it's Christmas-themed battle, here's your challenge. You must print out a picture of face.jpg, which can be found at www.blakebuck.com/stuff/face.jpg. Is that right, Blake Buck?
No, it's just /face.jpg.
Blakebuck.com/face.jpg. All right, you must print this out and find a nativity scene, place this picture somewhere on it, and take a picture.
Find a what kind of scene?
A nativity scene, like with Jesus and the wise men and all that.
Okay.
Alternatively, you could go find a live Santa Claus and put it on his face to take a picture of it. In fact, I think I like the latter better.
Okay, what's the URL? What's the URL?
It's www.blakebuck.com/face.jpg.
Awesome.
All right, well, you have 1 hour to complete this task. We'll call you back when it's up. Good luck.
All right.
Hopefully he he does know to get photographic evidence.
No, I told him to take a picture.
No, he's listened to all 31 episodes, he said in his email.
So he should know. He should know.
If he puts this thing on the mug of a live Santa Claus, I'll be happy forever. I think I like that better, actually. All right, man. Blake Buck, what do we got today?
We gotta hurry up and do this show so we can hear the results of this. And this is your gaming news for Christmas Day, 2007, December. God damn it. All right, this week in the news, Jeff Gerstmann lynched by Kane? What, what? Thank you, Wiki Fairy. Itagaki cleared of inappropriate touching. Activision and Vivendi merged, forming Voltron. Kill Monty update in the works. Oh, new Justin Fit game in development. And Duke Nukem Forever teaser trailer released. All this and more, this week's best damn podcast ever.
Now, before we jump into it here, I'd like to point out that the Wiki Fairy, actually not the Wiki Fairy, but Wiki Fairy Jr. has contributed significantly to this week's show. He or she actually filled out the entire wiki for us this week. We added some new releases and some other things here and some news that we cared a little bit more about. But look, Wiki Fairy, you do more work for us. We'll do more shows more quickly. So anyway... So I'm not going to go into detail here about the Gerstmann Gate, as people are calling it.
Oh, look. Okay, I'll say my opinion for the latter section. But
all right. Well, what I want to do is sort of lay this out, and then we'll talk about it because I don't even know. All right. So Jeff Gerstmann was a longtime writer for GameSpot. And essentially, what happened was he wrote a honest review of Kane and Lynch, Eidos's new game, which sucks balls. Eidos, whatever. Which sucks balls, apparently, and had paid for a huge advertising campaign on GameSpot.com. Shortly after he wrote the article and it posted, he was fired. And then, of course, the internet, as it is, read a lot into that and thought maybe he was fired because he gave it a low score, a 6.0.
In addition, the ads came down just around the time that he was fired as
right.
well.
And so there are a lot of other things that contributed, and people have been speculating about this. And so what do you guys think?
Well, first, let's say that no official statement has been released. They've said, like, oh, we're sorry, he had to leave, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's really said why he's gotten fired. So officially, there's no real reason for, you know, his firing.
Well, I mean, GameSpot there did have kind of like an interview. It was a lot of PR bullshit, but... In it, they did talk about how it was purely internal reasons. It didn't have anything to do with the reviews. I mean, they did go on record saying that, but it was very PR oriented.
So, do you think maybe something happened?
It seemed like a cover your ass interview, honestly.
Yeah, it could be. He wrote this poor interview and knew that it would get people's feathers ruffled, and he also knew he was going to get fired. He could be covering his ass with this interview. I mean, he could have, like, I don't know, raped people and not been Tomonobu Itagaki, who we'll get to later.
Uh-oh.
Well, see, here's the thing. You know, a lot of this could certainly be circumstances. You know, people say, like, oh, well, the ads came down right when the bad review came, or right when he was fired, but the ads probably would have gone down then anyway. You know, they usually don't run ads, but for about the first week of a game's release.
Yeah, the word from GameSpot is that was just a coincidence. Which it could have been.
People also pointed to the video review had to be taken down, and they re-edited a small portion of the video review, and also made it like slight changes to the text review. But I looked at the changes; it wasn't anything significant. Mainly, like some people are like, "Oh, the tone and mood has changed." Well, that's debatable. But I think that this is all coincidence. I do think there's something shady going on with his firing, but I do not think it's related to his review of Kane and Lynch. What say you guys?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, I mean, people get fired all the time, but they don't get fired and it becomes news on GameSpot. So, I mean, obviously, like, for some reason he was fired, you know, publicly. Like they wanted everyone to know that he was fired. So that kind of tells you that, yeah, maybe this does have something to do with it, but... You know, maybe not. I don't know. It's
well, I mean, it was. People would have known, though. I mean, he does, like, Jeff Gerstmann. He hosted the Hotspot, which is their podcast, which I do not recommend you checking out because this is the only podcast you listen to. But he also did a, like, he did, they have a weekly video kind of show, and he's also hosting that, and he got, so it was a very, it's not like he was, you know, the weeks before they're like, oh, it's so sad to see you go, like they did with Greg Cavison when he left. It was like, oh, you gone, bye. So it was abrupt, and I do think there's probably something shady behind it, but I doubt it's the Kane and Lynch.
Because the other thing, too, is like Kane and Lynch is not the, is not the first, you know, total blockbuster game that's come out that, you know, that he has put out a review that, you know, basically shit on it and pissed a lot of people off.
Isn't this the same guy that gave Tony Hawk Pro Skater a 10 and, like, Zelda an 8?
Yeah,
or
same
something
dude,
like that?
Same
Isn't
dude.
This the same dude?
Look, Tony Hawk's good. Why you gotta make fun
but
of Tony
according
Hawk,
to him,
baby?
It's the best game ever in the entire world.
Well, it was when it came out. I mean, certainly it's become derivative at this point, but Tony Hawk was a revolutionary game when it came out. You know, whatever. Twilight Princess ain't that good. Chill. I mean, the internet kids are like, here's what gets me. It's these little nerds on the internet who whine and bitch and send emails when Zelda gets an 8 are the same people coming up with these bullshit conspiracy theories when he gets fired. It's go, you know, do something with your life besides dick around on the internet.
Yeah, because you know, the punchline, that whole thing is that Zelda Twilight Princess is an 8. It's
kind of blue.
Ain't that great.
It did. All right, well, speaking of shady and inappropriate business practices, Tobunobu Itagaki has been cleared of sexual harassment. If you remember, a long time ago, Tobunobu Itagaki was accused of molesting some group of females in his office. not just one, but
a harem, if you will.
A gaggle of them. Anyway, a verdict has been handed down in the sexual harassment case, clearing Tobunobu Itagaki of all charges. So Tobunobu Itagaki goes on to say, I have held my head high and fought the good fight for the past year in order to clear my name and uphold the reputation of Team Ninja and of Tecmo, who, of course, covered up the scandal.
Yeah,
the former...
just to let you know, for those who don't know who Tobunobu Itagaki is, he worked on... all the Dead or Alive games are his kind of brainchild, and Ninja Gaiden.
So the former employee's arguments were judged to have been false, and all claims that she, all of them, has brought against me have been dismissed. So, you know, you guys that were worried that there would be a shortage of large-breasted female characters in your next Team Ninja title, fear not. He's back in action, having sex with women, and getting away with it.
Now, also, it's worth noting, it's worth bringing up, that at first, this would seem to be very, very shaking news, because Tobunobu Itagaki is a very beloved and revered figure on the BDP as a constant source of rape.
Of
yes.
Rape.
So whenever something on the BDPE needs raping, needs its asshole penetrated, Tobunobu Itagaki is the one responsible. So... My knee-jerk reaction to this, and probably a lot of listeners too, is that, oh God, it's like, he's cleared of this. He's not a rapist. What is going to happen to one of my personal favorite memes on this show?
It's like you just found out Santa Claus isn't real.
Exactly. I know. Yeah, Santa Claus isn't real. Tooth Fairy isn't real. Tobunobu Itagaki does not rape people. But, here's the thing. You know, obviously there is a case. So obviously, yes, he was like grabbing her tits and, you know, doing whatever. All this means is that it's the girl's fault. That's all this news
and she
means.
She has come to accept
this. He is still our beloved rapist that we hold so dear to our hearts. It was the girl was just asking for it. That's all it was.
No, now keep in mind, it did happen. All right. Because remember,
yes.
There was, I mean, and like, I don't think he ever denied that it happened, but she was saying, I think she was trying to, I think Blake Buck is not a legal master, obviously, but from the way this article makes it sound, it's sort of like she wasn't able to prove that his advances weren't justified or invited, I guess. Look, he's still a rapist. I'm trying to figure out how he's still a rapist in my head.
Now, here's what it is. Like what ended up happening... And this is from my legal experience, is that the girl was asking for it because she's a woman working in a video game company. That's it.
And living in Japan, where rape happens
daily. You have a vagina, and you are walking into a veritable sausage fest. What did you think was going to happen?
So, Itagaki, keep fighting the good fight. Oh, there'll be another one. You're done with her. Find the next one, and we'll keep watching. Godspeed.
Rape on, Itagaki. Rape on.
Just pick what you got, baby.
All right. So the Wiki Fairy placed some news in my sieve for me, in my queue. So Activision and Vivendi have now merged and formed Voltron, apparently. So, you know, Activision, who is obviously, you know, one of the biggest game publishers out there, Call of Duty, Tony Hawk, has now merged with Vivendi Games. And the big thing with this is that they, of course, are the owner of Blizzard.
Mm.
So, you know, this news came out and everyone was like, you know, everyone was up in arms like, oh, my God, you know, they bought Blizzard and now it's going to be like Blizzard Activision. They're calling it Black Division and blah, 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 blah. And
I like that.
Seriously, they're thinking about calling it Black Division.
I like that. More. But, more.
So, but I looked into this a little bit. And then as far as Blizzard is concerned, nothing is going to change. I mean, it's still Blizzard Entertainment. The logo is still the same. It's, you know, they just have, you know, a shitload more money, which they didn't need.
So, yeah, it's really, people were really up in arms, but it's not really that big of a change, I don't think. I mean, it's pretty much going to be, I guess from a stock perspective, this is a huge deal, but to the those of you listening, I mean, I know that game investors listen to our show all the time for the hot tips, but to the rest of you, it's not a big deal.
So, and then, you know, the people that are worried about, like, World of Warcraft and stuff, it's like, you know, they don't going to be worried about that at all. It's like this merger won't have anything to do with it until Blizzard comes out with this next-gen MMO they're already working on.
Man, what do they think is going to happen? They going to take WoW away from me? Like, what are you worried about? I mean, what, like Vivendi is going to buy Activision or whatever, and they're just going to tell Blizzard to stop.
No, here's what's going to be. They're going to look at that review that Jeff Gerstmann did, and they're going to be like, we got to put Tony Hawk in World of Warcraft. Hulk World.
Dude, World of Hawkcraft. Get to run around and hit people with my +2 skateboard.
I want, you know, that's like less than a year off an MMO like skateboard game. Somebody is working on that right now.
So yeah, so if you're worried that Activision's gonna come in and nerf all your codes in World of Warcraft, there's nothing to be worried about.
Good deal.
So also, I got some personal. Some personal updates from Justin Fick himself.
Uh-oh.
So first up, there is a Kill Monty update in the works. That's right. There's a new version.
What is this, son?
Dude, I am updating a 2-year-old game to bring it up to speed with today's kids and their rap music.
All right, so what changes are we going to be making to it, Justin Fick of Kill Monty fame?
All right, so this is the it's the popularly requested universal binary. We're gonna get that out of the way first.
Okay.
And it's going to have online leaderboards.
Oh, man.
So
I wonder who's going to be at the top of those leaderboards.
Save that power.
Uh-oh.
So also, there's a new game mode going in. It's called Championship Game Mode, tentatively.
How does that work?
So have you guys played the Pac-Man Championship Edition?
Oh, yeah.
On Xbox Live? Same thing as that. You get a certain amount of time. You get 2 minutes, and you just shoot for 2 minutes.
Now, see, I like that. That's hot.
See, you kill a boss, you get more time.
Ooh.
You get 15 seconds. You get a one-up, you get more time. You get 15 seconds to die, you lose 30 seconds. So it's sort of like combines the best parts of, like, Kill Monty and then, like speed running. So you got to, like, you know, like in Pac-Man, you have, like, the best routes to take. So in Kill Monty, you kind of have, like, you know, like what weapons do you get before the boss? What weapons do you get this and that? So it's very cool. I'm playing it, and it's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So I've gone in and done some gameplay rebalancing. So I've, you know, balanced out like the flamethrower railgun. The weapons are better, grenades more powerful, stuff like that.
Good.
So, you know, and then what else did I throw in there? Like Armageddon laser now gives you 2x score.
Oh man,
multiplies your score another 2x. So it's kind of like, think of it. So you have your multiplier in there already, 1 to 5. So think of the Armageddon laser like star power only with more death.
I like that.
And then finally, I'm trying to run this by Freeverse because it's such an awesome idea. I'm trying to talk them into having a high score contest when this new version comes out.
Ooh.
So I'm calling it Beat Your Maker. And basically what this is it's a high score contest, only instead of competing with each other, you have to beat me.
Now, Justin Fick, what is your high score in Kill Monty?
Well, I remember back in the heyday, I think I want to say I got like a good 25, 30 million.
Oh, man.
But this was also in normal game mode. This was before the rebalanced weapons. And the high score contest, what I want to have it do is you compete. So you have to compete and get on the online high score board for the new game mode, championship game mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, basically, I'm trying to talk Freeverse into, like, giving people, like, 15 days, and after that, whoever has a higher score than me gets free.
Now, Justin Fick, let's be honest here. Do mere mortals actually stand a chance at beating you?
I don't know. In fact, they stand so little of a chance that I have another thing planned for this high score contest.
Uh-oh. Are you going to have to, like, nerf your score or something?
So, basically, what I want to do is if this update gets through the pipes and gets out very quickly, I want to have the contest end at Macworld.
Oh.
And I am so confident that people will not beat my score that if someone does and they stop by the Freeverse booth at Macworld, which I will be at, they can write their score on my face with a black fucking marker. And I will wear it all day at Macworld.
Oh, man, that's hot. Now, for those of you listening out there, I've seen Justin Fick, like, get around. I think, well, when you were at Macro, I think you got, like, 25 million or something. It is insane. His skills.
It was pretty high.
It was like...
But, if you want any indication about how good Justin Fick is at this game, check out his Geometry Wars score on Xbox Live.
Dude, that'll
give you a
nothing.
Pretty good indication.
That's nothing. Mine is, like, what, 2 million on Geometry Wars? There are people getting, you know, hundreds of millions on that game. So there are people out there that just might have the chops to beat me, but I don't think so.
All right, so Justin,
we'll see. So if you think you have the balls to beat my score,
I'm gonna beat you. All right, just so I can rub my number in your face. So if for those of you who don't know what Kill Monty is, it's a game, Justin Fick, you made about what, 1-2 years ago, something like that.
And it came out in 2005, so it's getting pretty...
It's been out
for a while.
Well, if you want to go check it out, it's for Mac only right now, or I guess...
I
don't think there's a PC version planned. Or is there?
There might be. I'm trying to talk Freeverse into sending me some computers.
Oh, I see.
I can work on them.
Justin, send me that code. I'll port it over to PC for you.
Uh-oh.
So
just like I did Arachnoid during class. Done.
So if you want to check it out, go to freeverse.com, or is it free? It's freeverse.com, right? Yeah, freeverse.com.
Yeah, www.freeverse.com/killmonty.
There you go. You can be practicing.
So, and then of course check Inside Mac Games for the announcement on the update, which is still in the pipes. And then hopefully of also the high score contest, which honestly is too good an idea for them to turn down. So I'm calling them out. It's time for high score contest. I'm putting my face on the line at Mac.
You are. Now, Justin Fick, this is all pretty exciting news, but that's not all, is there?
Uh-oh.
No, that's not all. Because someone might say, you know, Justin Fick, you know, it's cool you're updating Kill Monty, but Kill Monty is over 2 years old now. And it's like, why don't you just create a new game? And I'm like, oh, shit. Glad you asked. So there is a new Justin Fick game in development.
Uh-oh.
So for those of you that have been keeping tabs on my blog, I've been posting about, you know, my code base, the Fick engine. I've taken sort of the code from, you know, Kill Monty, Arachnoid, sort of beefed it up, sort of made it tight, and now cranking out some prototypes. So and I got a prototype that kicks my ass, and it will kick everyone else's ass when it comes out. So Here's what I can tell you so far. So it's a beat 'em up. So if you like beating the shit out of them, you're gonna like this game. So it's gonna have Castlevania style combat. So this is the new Castlevania's post Symphony of the Night. So that kind of combat,
okay,
with like the final fight style gameplay. It will also feature 4-player simultaneous multiplayer with joystick support.
Oh shit! Is that local or online?
That's local.
Oh, okay, good.
So online is still a can of worms that I'm afraid to open at this time, but you will be able to plug in a hub into your computer and plug in 4 Xbox 360 paddles, and go at it.
No, man, that's hot.
So as as I said, it features the Fick engine. So all my cool improvements that I'm throwing in there, it's gonna have that. So for instance, the joystick support, And then, you know, and hopefully I can, you know, maybe get some online high scores, that kind of thing. So to find out more, seek me out. I'm going to be at Free Versus Booth this year for Macworld. So I'll be there pretty much the whole time. Come stop by, say hello, and tell me to show you the heat, and I'll show you the heat.
That's a BDP meet and greet right there.
That is.
Hell yeah. That's how that will be the that'll be the first show, and we'll be at Macworld.
That's awesome.
So stop by and ask me, and I'll bust it out.
I am very excited, Justin Fick. I want to see this heat. You better send it to me the second that it's ready.
Dude, you better believe it.
Also, speaking of BDPD meet and greets, guys, coming up January, what did we decide on an exact day, William Miller?
I don't know, early January, around the 2nd or the 3rd, I guess.
That's when that weekend, like the 5th and the 6th, somewhere in Savannah, we're going to be having a BDPE meetup, and we're going to be doing, well, I don't know if we're, Fick's not going to be there. In fact, when is Macworld, Fick?
I won't be able to make it. It's too close to New Year's, too close to Macworld, and just too much fucking money, so.
Yeah, yeah. Macworld's
donate
like the
at bestdamnpodcastever.com if you want Fick to go to the meet and greet.
But we're going to be getting together in Savannah around on the weekend of the 5th or the 6th in January. I don't know how many people. We know at least like maybe 3 or 4 people already are going to show up. Maybe more. We put it in the forum. So if you're interested in showing up, go check out the forums. We're planning out the exact date and place, but it's going to be awesome.
Also, guys, there's a possibility that one of our listeners might take the next big step in his relationship with the Best Damn Podcast Ever. No, I don't mean having sex with Blake Buck. I mean he's getting... maybe a BDPE tattoo.
Uh-oh.
And we will be there to witness it if he does. So all might be happening in January. If you want to check that out, get over to the meet and greet at Savannah, Georgia. If you're in the area or if you're in it, you can fly into Atlanta and drive up, whatever. But if you can get here, that'd be pretty sweet. Blake Buck is going to be here. William Miller is going to be here. And we're going to be having a blast.
Dude, you know what you guys need to do out there besides videotaping this dude getting the BDP tattoo is you guys need to have a live battle.
We do.
Oh, we will.
So it's kind of like, how college orientations will have that freaking like scavenger hunt where you get together with like a bunch of people and go find. No, this is kind of like that. Only everyone goes out and battles and comes back.
No. What it's going to be is you pick one of us and we fight you to the death. That's it. I mean, if you win, you get to be a new host on the show. You have clearly shown your dominance if you can kill one of us. So you just have to fight us. Any weapons, fair game. So, you know, so, keep that in mind.
We may or may not have another show between now and then. If we don't and you want to look for updates and details on this, just check out the forum, bestdamnpodcastever.com/forum. We got info there about we'll be posting updates as it gets closer to the date and we know who's coming. So just check the site, and we hope to see you there.
All right, Blake Buck, what news you got for us?
All right, guys, Duke Nukem Forever teaser trailer released. Oh, my f***ing God. I cannot believe how awesome it is.
Dude.
Have you guys seen it?
I've seen it.
Oh, what is this lack of enthusiasm, Justin Fick?
This is a visible lack of enthusiasm. This is a lack of enthusiasm. This is an enthusiastic lack of enthusiasm in order to get you to ask me about said lack of enthusiasm and in order to go into my rant about the Duke Nukem teaser trailer.
hang on. Before you lay into it, let me describe it. You can check it out at I'm not going to read off this URL. It's got code in there, but you can just do a YouTube search for it. You'll find it. It came out on the 19th. It didn't have a date for the release, but essentially it shows Duke sitting in a black void pumping iron and smoking a cigar. And it cuts to like gameplay, I guess it's all in gameplay, but it cuts to like these shots of like close-up aliens swiping at the camera and screaming and blood and all that nonsense. Cuts back to him pumping iron, right? Cuts back to the aliens, cuts back to pumping iron. He drops his... I was going to say Duke. I don't know. I guess his weight.
Rock. He drops his rock. Blake
he Buck. Drops his rock. He looks at the camera and blows out his smoke, which forms into a atomic Duke Nukem logo. And then across an American flag, it says Duke Nukem Forever. And then he says, and then it like fades out and we hear Duke's voice say, I'm looking for some alien. Oh, wait. I can't even read this. It's so awesome. I'm looking for some alien toilet to park my bricks. Who's first? Sold. I'm paying $700 to buy this game right now. Did you guys miss the part where he said, "Park my bricks"?
Dude, I did enjoy that. I did enjoy that line very much.
Like, what is a brick, and why do you park it on a toilet? Like, no, his nuts are just bricks. That's what that is. His balls are actually brick-shaped.
Now, see, I figured it was just like, take the line, dropping some friends off at the pool and inject some steroids into it, and you got park my bricks. We go park some bricks.
So, Justin, how could you not love this trailer?
Well, hold on. So the actual content of the trailer, it was enjoyable. It was cool. So you know, you got a dude, and it's just like, looks like Sarge from Quake 3, and he's pumping iron, and there's, and you know, it's like aliens and stuff, and it's that everything's cool. But you know what? It's like, seriously, I am not going to be impressed with anything Duke Nukem does until you stick a box directly up my ass containing a DVD-ROM that I can plug into my Xbox and play.
Yeah, there was sadly a lack of any sort of release date anywhere in the trailer.
Well, there is no release date. There was no gameplay footage because the cuts of the aliens that you saw was really just honestly like it was just a scripted scene as the pumping iron thing. It was just alien attack animations. So I mean, honestly, I'm not impressed until you show me a game, until playable builds go out to magazines. I want this game up my ass, or I'm not going to be impressed.
Look, this was billed as a teaser trailer, all right? I knew going in it wasn't going to have, you know, shots of the HUD and actual gameplay footage. It was going to be, you know, nonsense. Like that Street Fighter teaser we saw. Remember we talked about that a few weeks back?
All that black smoke I'm sort of in the Justific camp on this one. Now, as much as I like the trailer's content, I mean, come on. It's Duke Nukem. He's saying cool stuff. He's pumping bricks. I mean...
I'm saying, this is the most we've seen of Duke Nukem in, like, the past 10 years.
It's true, but I think even if they release the game tomorrow, I don't think Duke Nukem can stand up, you know, against today's games, Gears of War, you know, whatever. I mean, Duke Nukem started the thing, you know, has been reproduced in many, many other games, you know, from when the first one came out on. I mean, he's been done to death, and I think a new Duke Nukem game is just going to be like, you know, old hat almost.
Well, the thing is, even not just Duke Nukem himself, like for instance, Gears of War, you play as, you know, just a couple of Duke Nukems.
Right.
So you got like your hard-ass Duke Nukem, you got your Latino Duke Nukem, you got your black Duke Nukem. that's basically all that Gears of War is. Like, take Duke Nukem and make him every nationality and make a squad out of him. That's what Gears of War
Duke
was.
Duke Squad.
Duke Squad, yeah.
Now, I think, you know, this could have some redeeming qualities, like the attitude, the comedy. I mean, like, you know, Blake Buck once said, and this has stuck with me, that there are two kinds of great games. There's games that innovate, and there's games that are the same as something you've always played but have a different attitude that you love. You
exactly.
know, like Guitar Hero versus Guitar Freaks. I mean, Guitar Freaks sucked because it didn't have any attitude. Guitar Hero, essentially the same game, but it's awesome because it's got this attitude to it. But I think even with that, this is a sinking ship. I mean, I don't think it's going to save it.
I cannot believe the fucking shit coming out of you asshole's mouth right now.
Dude, there's a reason they call him Duke, son.
Look, he's gonna just shoot you. He's going to become alive and kill you. I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
Dude, like I said, you know what? I will be happy to change my tune. As soon as I put my right hand up my asshole and feel Duke Nukem Forever, the DVD-ROM that I can take out of my ass and put in my Xbox, then I will happily change my tune. Until then, Duke Nukem sucks. Get over it.
Look, you gotta have faith. You got no faith. If I had to prescribe to one religion, that religion would be Duke.
Dude, listen. Dude, Duke Nukem is not a religion anymore. He is a mythology.
Yeah, I think the Church of Duke has made that ascension into myth.
Look, I'm changing my Facebook religion status right now. I'm changing it from Gandalf.
Gandalf? Dude, what happened to Norse?
No, dude. Gandalf is Lord, because when I think of God, that's what he looks like. He looks like Gandalf. That's all. And unlike regular God, I can see him in not one, but three movies.
Well, look, from what I hear, Peter Jackson's coming out with some new Hobbit movie soon.
Does it have Gandalf?
The Hobbit had Gandalf.
Is it going to be Salmarillion? Is that what Bore Me to Tears movie?
No, I think it's The Hobbit. Actually.
Okay, The Hobbit.
Although I think they're going to make that into two. From what I heard, that they might make it into two movies. I don't know.
Oh my god!
But that's what I hear.
Lame. Wait, now we're skipping releases this week, guys, because all the games are already out. Nothing's really coming out until January. You know, second week of January, kind of in February. So. In lieu of the releases, we have got a Mega Judgment Go.
All right, so now I recently visited Oxford. Me and my girlfriend came down to visit Oxford and see the parents and, more importantly, see Blake Buck. Now, Blake Buck brought with him from Jackson Rock Band for the Xbox 360. And we plugged it in and we played it. I've got some impressions on Rock Band. You know, this is the second time I had played it since it was in infancy, very very early, not even alpha yet. And I have to say, I liked it overall. It was excellent. The song lists were very good. Production value is very high.
What?
But listen, I hate that new guitar. Hate it.
The Stratocaster?
I hate it. I can't play
on it.
Look, the buttons don't click.
I heard it breaks.
The buttons don't click. The little strum bar doesn't click. There's no feedback, right? The buttons like mush instead of press, I don't know where they are. They're not colored. The only redeeming factor is it's big. Wee Miller likes big. And it's got those solo buttons down at the bottom that are hot. But other than that, I hate it.
You are getting ahead of yourself, William. First of all, we got to break down what Rock Band is for these idiots who don't even know, who've been living under a rock. So Rock Band, it's like Guitar Hero, but you play it with three people. It's got drums, a guitar, a lead guitar, a bass guitar, and a microphone. So the bundle they're showing right now, there's only one bundle that's, I think, $170, $180, and it comes with drums, the Stratocaster guitar William Miller just described, and a mic. They assume you have another guitar for the bass guitar. And it's basically like Guitar Hero. You either play the drums or whatever. And it's got, I think, 53 songs, most of which are pretty good. But William Miller doesn't seem to like the guitar. What the fuck, man?
I don't like it. It's not the same. Look, the pinnacle of Guitar Hero guitars is the...
Let me hear this.
Is the Guitar Hero 3 Gibson Les Paul. The pinnacle.
I agree with that one. Dude, I agree with that one.
No, it comes apart. You can keep it, you know, like the neck comes off, and it feels good and heavy and not a piece of shit.
Let me tell you something, son. That one that comes with guitar, it's all right. It's the second best. The best guitar for playing any guitar-based game is the one that comes with Guitar Hero 2 on the Xbox 360. The white Explorer... Gibson. You know the one I'm talking about, Justin Fick?
I know the one you're talking about, but I don't have
it. That was all right. But no, look,
I got that cool black one, you can't even put face plates
on that thing.
I love it so much.
Look, no, the black one, the buttons are too mushy. You press them, they don't spring back as much as... The buttons are key, baby. It might be wireless, it might clickety-clack, but the buttons, you really gotta mush down on. I don't like it. You can't do those fast sections with that guitar. I know you wouldn't know that, William Miller, because you suck at guitar. I saw you.
Dude,
I saw you trying to play.
Dude, I had to switch my Stratocaster out for that Gibson LP. Look, son, I can play that game, all right? I'm just a little rusty.
Uh-huh, okay. So, in terms of the drums are awesome. I've been wailing the crap out of those drums, and they still work every time. The foot pedal works great. The mic, you know, no problems. But I definitely would agree that the Stratocaster guitar that comes with Rock Band is... I mean, the main problem is it lacks the click... You know, like on a Guitar Hero guitar, when you strum, it makes a click sound and you know exactly when it happens. It's just sort of like you press it down and it's like there's kind of like some, like, cotton resistance. You feel resistance. How would you describe it?
Well, there's no resistance. There's just no verbal or kinesthetic feedback.
Yeah. And, like, it works most of the times, but on really fast stuff, if you don't know exactly when to strum, you're going to miss all of the notes.
That's right.
Especially when you're trying to play real fast. You said that the buttons were I love the buttons on the Stratocaster.
Hate them.
They're so big, they're close together, and you can slide around easy.
Wrong.
You can't really slide too well. Oh, wrong. That's my phrase. And it's got them.
Well,
other than the strummer, I think it's a great guitar, but the strummer just kills it.
Okay, so I think we need to introduce a new metric for judgment. Now, we judge games on their aesthetic qualities, on their gameplay, you know, how fun they are to play and all that. I think we need to judge games on how well they play when you are intoxicated. We were very intoxicated when we played this game. Blake Buck, how well does this game play when you're drunk?
Let me tell you, I get it's like star power when you're drunk. You get at least twice as good when you're drinking and playing Rock Band. So, I mean, it is the best party game ever. Like, we play it all the time. My friends, we swap out who's playing what. If you're looking for a multiplayer, you know, music game, or even just if you have even just a few friends that are even a little bit musically inclined, you have got to get Rock Band. You're going to have an awesome time. But if you just like playing Guitar Hero by yourself, or you're like, oh, it's too much money and I wouldn't play it with my friends, I just play, and maybe not. But I have a blast, and it would have been worth $300, especially if that f***ing guitar hadn't sucked so much ass.
Now, the higher price point, Blake Buck, do you think they're going to release different packages of Rock Band, just the drums or just the guitar, for instance?
And the commentary, or not commentary, but they have like a little like behind-the-scenes video of Rock Band, you know? They have like interview one of the guys at Harmonix, and he talks about they actually are planning on releasing kind of high-end guitar peripherals and drums for the Rock Band. So I think down the road, you know, maybe, in fact, what you might want to do, if you're thinking about getting it but you don't have the money right now, maybe wait a little while, you know, pick up the game when it comes out with just the drums or something.
That's what I'm planning, because, like, honestly, I have no interest in the guitar.
Yeah, the guitar is terrible. Well, it's not terrible, but for the expert-level players like myself who only play on Esberg and laugh at the menial difficulty of it.
Well, yeah, from what I heard, the difficulty in Rock Band, like, expert in Rock Band is like Guitar Hero 2 on hard.
No, it's about, I would say it's on par with Guitar Hero 2. Okay. The difficulty in Rock Band is on par with the difficulty in Guitar Hero 2, but Guitar Hero 3 is in its own stratosphere of ridiculousness, which, if you like that, then you're going to think Rock Band's way too easy. I hated that about Guitar Hero, so I like the difficulty of Rock Band. In fact, see, people are playing the game like, oh, well, it's not as hard. The later songs are still quite difficult, you know? I mean, especially if you're playing with four people. See, that's another thing I want to talk about. If you're playing with four people, there's not a linear progression like you would find in the other. It's like a Guitar Hero, you go down a list, and the ones at bottom are hard, and ones up top are easy. Whereas in Rock Band, you sort of go through, it would like models itself after a real Rock Band, and so you play different venues which have different songs. So the sense of progression isn't so clear-cut, and it's not really as clear where the harder songs start to come in, but it definitely gets a lot harder towards the end of the game. And also, the downloadable content, some of those songs are insane. The Metallica pack is extremely difficult. I'd say the Metallica pack is on par with
So what songs, though, are in the Metallica pack? This is of personal interest to Justin.
Oh, Blackened is in there. That one's, whenever that one comes up, we just cry and hit, like, quit song. The drums are insane, the vocals are insane, and the guitar and bass are insane. No one can win that song. That's another thing. Like, if you get a really hard song, you know, it's like once you start ramping up, your skills got to ramp up too, or you kind of get shut out. Like, because like after you get 600,000 fans, you have to all be on expert to get any more fans. So it's, you know, they sort of close you off in terms of difficulty. But I'm sorry, I got distracted. Lucas just sent me a
Lucas
message.
Is talking to me too. Quit talking to us, Lucas.
But another thing that sucks about the game, the downloadable content, unlike Guitar Hero where you just like go, oh, I want this song and click buy and you play it, you can't access the songs from within the game. You have to go all the way back out to the goddamn dashboard, go find it in the marketplace, download it, and then boot the game back up to play. I mean, unless I'm dumb and retarded and I can't figure out a way how to do it, you have to like literally turn the game off and turn it back on to download new songs.
That's lame.
Lame.
So there are a couple of quirks like that, but overall, big thumbs up for a party game, or if you're into music games of any sort, Rock Band, thumbs up.
Also, I'd like to add, before we go on to the next set of news here, I was on MobyGames.com the other day. Now, this is like IMDb, but for game designers.
No.
So I'm on MobyGames.com.
Just go ahead.
And I have actually been credited for Rock Band Rock the 80s, even though I did not work on it, which is awesome.
Nice.
Look, I'm not a big fan of Moby Games, all right? That, like, Moby Games, people try, you know, like you say, it's IMDb of games. It doesn't have nearly as much stuff as Wikipedia, and it's not as detailed. And I tried to submit info on a game, and they were like, "Oh, these facts aren't valid. You need to go through." And I said, "F that. F you. I'm never going to this website again."
Okay, Blake Buck. Thank you.
No. It's look like if you look up like try and look up obscure games on Wikipedia, and then look them up on Moby Games. You'll find them on Wikipedia, but you will not find them on Moby Games. Thumbs down.
Oh, Justin Fick. Oh, I see Justin Fick. Oh, shit.
Oh, you're on there?
Oh, Empire at War. Dude, where's Kilmonthy on this shit? Fail. Sucks.
Look. The only way Moby Games will redeem itself if I can find myself on it.
All right. So the next one, I don't know why I'm taking this, but because I haven't played it. Geometry Wars Galaxies on the Nintendo DS. Who's played this game?
Dude, I'll take this one. This is one.
All right,
I'll
go, Justin Fick.
All right. So I actually got two judgments in here. Because I've been sort of kind of like in a rut, not quite a depression, but kind of like the magic is going out of the relationship between me and my Nintendo DS. So I mean, it's still the system I play the most. You know, it's kind of like that stale relationship where you're still in it, but you're not quite having fun anymore. So like whenever I bust open the DS, you know, I'll play some Picross. Play some Picross and do a puzzle or two, or maybe
Blake Buck knows all about this.
Dude, and then maybe bust open the Castlevania and get one of those items I haven't gotten yet to further get my 100% in that. But you know, just the fun is not there. So I sat down and I thought to myself, I was like, what do I need? What does this relationship need? Kind of like went to marriage counseling with my DS. Like, what do I need for my DS to revitalize this relationship? And the answer was, I need to shit the fuck up. So, I went and got two games. And the first one, Geometry Wars Galaxies for DS. This is stop number one on my shoot shit marathon for DS. So basically, what this is basically Geometry Wars on your DS, and it takes the gameplay of the Xbox Live Marketplace bestseller and sort of twists it around, and they give it like they give it over 60 levels. They give it, you know, they add in extra gameplay hooks and stuff, but still keep that basic mechanic. So, you know, it plays pretty much how you expect, something that's worth noting right off the bat is that, you know, obviously in the DS you can't have dual analog. So what they do is they have a D-pad and stylus control where D-pad moves your dude, and then so you're moving around and you see yourself on the top screen, and then on the bottom screen where you're tapping with a stylus determines where you're going to shoot. So actually this works extremely well. This is actually something that, you know, back when I was kicking around some Kilmonthy DS ideas, this was actually kind of like what I thought would be perfect, and it works so great. Like, it's instantly intuitive. It's actually, I would say it's almost as much fun, if not maybe a little more, than actually using two sticks. So you can D-pad, and then you can switch it if you want to be left-handed. You can switch it so the four buttons move you, and then you can use your left hand with a stylus stick.
See, one thing I don't like though, like I guess that gives you more control, but to me, that breaks. When I think about dual joystick games, I think of one fist and then the other fist, right? I don't think about, like, one fist and then, like, holding the pencil. That doesn't do it for me. Like, the dual, like, maybe using the buttons in my head is a lot cooler than having the stylus. But I guess I'm probably just retarded.
Well, I mean there is a very cool, you know, kind of, like, just kinesthetic, like, adrenaline, like I'm taking two fists, like two joysticks, like on a Robotron machine. I'm just shaking them around like I don't know, like a baby. But you know, it still works so well to have the pen. Like it's you can get perfect, you know, accuracy and control. It feels totally intuitive. Like you're able to just sit down and get right into it. So it works very well, and it is still very fun.
Now, is it as fun as the Xbox 360 counterpart?
Well, there's a couple. The differences in the core gameplay kind of give it a couple pluses over it and a couple minuses under it. So, you know, basically in Geometry Wars Galaxies, you don't just play it. Like Geometry Wars is just you hit play and you're in game and shooting stuff. In Galaxies, you have to actually choose a galaxy and then choose a planet. So there's like 60 different levels, and you choose one. Each one kind of has slightly different rules. So, you know, and so it's cool that there is a lot more variety and that you can pick a different planet, but it doesn't have that sort of like scrape for the highest score pull that Geometry Wars does. So each level has three medals, has, you know, bronze, silver, gold, and then depending on how many points you get in that level, you get a medal. So you can improve your score on each planet, but you know, there really isn't a whole lot of, you know, whole lot of reason to do it, just because like there's so many different planets that you're probably just going to play them all like once or twice, and then there's going to be a couple that you play a lot.
Right.
So in the beginning, the levels are kind of repetitive. It's just basically like Geometry Wars, you know, with the first four enemies or like the first couple planets. They're kind of like your training levels. But by the time the second, you know, galaxy worth of planet starts rolling around, they start throwing some cool level ideas at you, some cool enemies, you know, some really rich, like a lot of different cool ideas. So it's like it sort of starts off as a letdown, then it picks up, and then it gets really cool.
All right.
So for instance, there's like one level which, you know, kind of reminded me of like survival mode from Kill Monty. So you get one life, no bombs, and then it actually gives you like an octagon shaped level. And then it just basically spawns stuff in, you know, just directly around you all the time. You have to keep shooting your way out of it, getting around. And by that time, more stuff is spawned around you. It's very cool. It's just like, and like there's another one where there's enemies that all spawn at the top, and then they all sort of swoop down at you. So it actually plays like a, you know, kind of like a Galaxian or something. There's a lot of different enemies, a lot of different levels. It's very cool. There's a lot of variety. And you know, the coolest thing is that it's Geometry Wars on your DS. I mean, it's like, you know, you get to just pull it out and just blast stuff for a while. And whereas before you had to be sitting at your Xbox Live Arcade, so that's cool. Got a lot of good points. But some of the bad points is that obviously, you know, the graphics are lacking, and you know, even though it's just shapes, like there's a lot of particle effects missing, and it does kind of feel like it's a little choppier. So it kind of feels like. Like if you guys had the original Game Boy and you remember NES games that were ported to the Game Boy and they were really choppy, kind of like the Castlevania or the Mega Man, or if you ever played Nemesis, kind of like the Game Boy Gradius game, they had that kind of choppy, slow feel to it, and Geometry Wars Galaxies kind of has a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So it definitely feels like you're playing it on a portable. It feels like you're playing a toned down version.
All right.
And then, you know, and obviously like a lot of the planets are a lot easier. So I mean, I'm like, and maybe just because I'm fucking awesome, but I just get gold medals and not even blink. So I mean, maybe for regular human beings, the challenge is more balanced, but yeah. I'm not finding it very challenging. Whereas anytime I play Geometry Wars, I can feel challenged eventually. But there are actually a couple of planets where it's like, you know, the spawns don't really get a whole lot harder, and it kind of feels like I've beaten it. And just the only way I can die from that point is just sort of getting bored and just sort of letting up. Just so, like, you know, just it's kind of like on a date if you're going easy on your date because you don't want to beat her. but you're still trying to put up enough of a fight so you don't insult her intelligence. That's kind of how some of these levels feel,
dude. Whatever. So it's like, you know, it's like, I destroy dude, date if I'm gonna play a game,
dude. so like some of these levels, like I get gold medals very quickly, and I'm just like, okay, well now what? So that kind of sucks. And then another complaint I have is that, you know, there are some cool levels, but it's hard to remember which ones are the cool ones because the galaxies, you know. Are like the galaxies are like, you know, alpha, beta, gamma galaxy, and the planets all have like these stupid proper names like I don't know, Briseis or some shit like that. So I know that one of these planets has like, for instance, the survival type level or the level with, you know, with everyone rating from the top. Those are fun levels, but I can't remember which ones the fuck they are because I'm trying to sort through all these fucking proper planet names, and I can't remember if Briseis was the one with the survival one or if it's the one with the asteroids or I don't know.
That dumb.
So that kind of pisses me off a little bit. So, but I mean, all in all, you know, it's a good game. It's Geometry Wars. It's fun. It's on your DS. It doesn't lose anything major, so thumbs up.
Good deal.
All right. Now, this next one is, well, we got a lot to say about this, but Burnout Paradise demo has dropped on the Xbox 360. Now,
dude,
this is William Miller's favorite game franchise of all time. Burnout Revenge has to be my favorite game ever. I click them sticks forward, my car drives, I crash, I love it, okay? And William Miller pops in, he makes Dave download Burnout demo, which is like 800 megs, and I gotta say I'm a little bit disappointed. I get my car, and they tell me to drive to a gas station or some such bullshit to fix it up. What the hell? Where's my burnout?
Dude,
damn it!
It's already f***ed up. It's already
f***ed up. I've got to drop. Look. I want crash mode in my face right now. I didn't even see that. I didn't even get to crash mode. Where if they've dropped it
Dude,
out
there,
of the game?
You know what though? There is no crash.
I'm gonna
mode.
F***ing kill
there
somebody.
No
like this game is okay. So it was, you know, it was real pretty. I got to give them that. Crashes look good. All that looks good. But look, I spent the whole time. And you know how William Miller is driving a car. I don't know where I'm going. You know, I'm driving around. There's nobody to crash or race or anything. There's no big tanker I could drive into and explode. I mean, this is just ridiculous. What are you thinking? I'm done.
Like, I don't know if they were just eager to jump on the whole sandbox bandwagon or what, but dude, everyone that said, oh my god, this is going to be the coolest thing for the Burnout franchise ever, no, fuck you. It sucks. It fucking sucks. Dude, Burnout Revenge had it perfect. Choose crash. You go and you crash and you blow everything the fuck up. That's all you need to do. Just select crash and crash. Don't make me fucking find it. Don't make me drive up to it and honk my horn or whatever the fuck you're supposed to do. It's stupid. No. Bullshit.
Now, let me defend Burnout Paradise while I can, okay? First off, if they did another Burnout that was just like the last one, I think everybody would be disappointed, all right? If it was just more like Drive Fast, I mean, so you got to at least give them some points for trying something new, all right? Hands down. Next, some of the features that they've implemented are fun. The new crash stuff looks really good, or not the crash mode, but just the crashes themselves, like the cinematography on it, and you can save crashes, like if you're flipping and then you land on your wheels, you can come out of it and you get lots of points and stuff. That's kind of fun. The open world works well, but the problem is that the demo, like, you're supposed to be, like, every traffic light in the city is like a mission, right? And you just go up to a traffic light and you hit a button and you start a mission. Problem with the demo is that, like, only about 5 of the 30 lights do anything. I mean, there might even be, like, 50 lights. I only found, like, maybe 2 or 3 that did anything. It said, like, oh, mission not available in demo. And there was no way to tell which ones were available and which one wasn't. And so you ended up just kind of driving around aimlessly looking for missions to do. That sucked. Also,
dude, you know what you said to me? That Burnout has become driving around in traffic looking for shit.
Well, I think the full version won't be nearly so bad once all the traffic lights are working. You'll just drive to a light, hit go, and then you're either battling or racing. So I think the fact that it's a demo definitely hurts it a lot in that respect. Another thing I thought was cool was, I don't know if any of you guys tried this, but to get online, I can, like, crash into other people, you hit right on the D-pad and then go, like, click go, and then, like, 8 people just come from off the internet, and there they are playing with you. It's totally seamless. You don't even go to a menu. You don't even stop driving. You're, like, you're driving down the street. You click get on internet. 8 other people appear in the city around you. That's hot. I like that a lot.
That's cool.
And not only that, but if you have a camera, if somebody, like, rams you, it takes a picture of your face and sends it to them when somebody wrecks you.
That's pretty good.
That's hot. William Miller, you have got to get you a camera so I can just watch your face. So there are some good ideas. I think the fact that it's a demo really hurts it, but I'm still – it's looking major, major, major suspect right now, but it could pull it out.
Here's my problem. One of my design tenets is you never should make the player do something that they don't want to do or that they didn't sign up for. All right, so now listen.
Oh, really?
Let's take this hypothetical situation. William Miller likes to crash into tanker trucks and blow them up, okay? Now, there's a particular level in Burnout Paradise that does just this, and William Miller loves it. Now, problem is, it's all the way the f*** across town. I booted up, I got to drive the f*** over there and then honk my horn at some intersection, and then I'm there. Now, I suck at the game. Blake Buck will tell you, I suck. Okay, this could take me like an hour, you know, running into walls, blowing up, all this stuff. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I want to scroll over that little picture, and I want to click my stick forward, and I'm driving into tanker trucks and blowing them up. That's what I want.
Just scroll over to the little road sign that has a tanker truck broken in half. You know which one I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's got to have a little picture of a tanker truck split into two.
Like, not only that, my other main complaint with the problem, they're like, oh, there's so many jumps, but, you know, just playing the, like, Burnout, you're doing jumps and flying through shit all the time, because it's really like a big tube, Burnout Revenge, where awesome stuff happens along. There's no choice. You drive down the tube, and awesome shit happens. It's really pretty simple, and really not even that well designed, if you think about it, but it works effectively. Whereas this, it's a more open world, but you can't find any of the jumps. You know they're there somewhere.
Dude, I hate that
but,
so
you know,
much.
It's,
dude, that's like a pet peeve of mine. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like sandboxing. Like maybe I'm not good at finding jumps, but like Grand Theft Auto, Crackdown. Like I don't have any of the fucking driving things in Crackdown because I don't want to find the fucking jumps.
Yeah. See, like
they suck.
This is see, yeah. Like Burnout Revenge is like Peggle. All right. Even if you totally suck at it, cool shit happens just because you're playing it. Right. In Peggle, you shoot the little pachinko right. ball, and then all of a sudden the Hallelujah chorus is playing, and I have won level one. Awesome. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And same Burnout. Like, even if I'm crashing into shit, I have jumped over three ramps and flipping in the air and am exploding all the same. And that just didn't happen for me in Burnout. If I in Burnout Paradise, if I start to suck, oh, I run into a wall. Damn it.
My other pet peeve, my other main problem with Burnout is that it's not nearly as fast as the old Burnouts, which, that I mean, it has to be that way, because again, the old Burnouts were like tubes you drove down. Like, there really weren't even any walls in Burnout. If you kind of hit the side, it just kind of scooched you towards the middle, right? Whereas in this, it's not, I mean, it's maybe a fifth of the speed of the old Burnout games, or Burnout Revenge in particular.
Thumbs down, son.
I still can't get over that classification, though. Burnout is a tube in which awesome stuff happens.
So, I commend them for trying new things, but I don't know. Maybe the full version, they'll tweak some stuff and get a little better, but major suspect right now, Burnout. I got my eye on you.
You know what? I got an idea. I got an idea just like in the last 5 minutes. You said Burnout gets credit for trying something new and it didn't work out. I've got it. I've got what Burnout can do. This new thing. So they go back to the old Burnout Revenge, but the new element is they take a page out of another seminal racing game called Carmageddon. you see how I'm taking this? It's Burnout with people in it.
Yeah, actually,
and that's all that needs to happen. Instant bestseller.
Burnout has actually never had any people in any of the cars. They're all just like ghost cars. Nobody's in any of them.
No, not people in the cars. People outside the cars.
Yeah, if you drop pedestrians in there and you could just run over them, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, people outside the cars that go inside the cars via the radiator. That's what I'm talking about.
Here's what I would do to fix Burnout. All right, you got your five games now. Last one wasn't so good. The fans want a new one. I say you start driving so fast, your car starts to fly. Now it's plane out. You win. So I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. We'll keep it. Look, Lord knows I'm still buying it anyway. I own every single Burnout game ever made, so I'm gonna buy it. But we'll see how it turns out come January. All right, Justin Fick, Contra 4, go.
All right, so my last stop on my shoot marathon on my DS, Contra 4 DS. Basically, so it's a description, C title. It's Contra 4. It's the Contra after Contra 3. That's all you need to know. Pros, everything. Cons, nothing. Buy this fucking game right now.
Wait a minute. Now, I just saw this game yesterday or the day before. My roommate bought it, right? So I look at the box, right? And there are these two sweaty, shirtless men and, like, an explosion behind them. And then, like, Skeletor looking down from the sky. And I think to myself, this is everything I want in life in a box right here.
Dude, not only is this game everything that you want in life in a box, like, the people that made it know that. And they designed it with, you know, just basically in that mindset. I mean, like the people that made Contra 4 were, you know, it's like they obviously grew up with Contra the way we did. I mean, it's like flipping through the manual, they're like just oozing so much love for this game. Like, for instance, you know, just like you said, there's always a page in the manual with the characters.
Right.
So like Final Fantasy has a little character page. In the Contra manual, it's called The Dudes Without Shirts. I shit you not. That's what their character section is called.
That is awesome.
Now also it's worth noting that they have an enemy section, and the main enemy actually has a name. Like, you know the ever-present running Contra dude that runs around and sometimes he shoots at you? He has a name in Contra 4. That name is Dirk McShooter.
Oh, man. It's like we designed
now,
this
game. And then, dude, not only that, but, like, they actually know Contra in and out. So, I mean, they have, like, their multiplayer section. Here's another excerpt. So, It says, if you know someone else with Contra 4, you can celebrate the time-honored tradition of taking all the good items and advancing the screen too quickly while playing alongside a friend. Dude, it's like they are Contra masters making a Contra game. So it came out absolutely perfect. It kind of reminds you of Contra 3. So it's got that same look and feel. It takes place, you know, sometime after that in the story. But who gives a shit? It's aliens. You shoot them. Done. But it's, you know, it's Contra 3, and it adds the grappling hook. So you hit the X button, and you shoot out like this bionic commando type arm, and you go up to the top. You know, and you can go up to the top screen and blow people up. It's awesome. It's another Contra 3. That's all people should need to hear. And honestly, if people have not heard of Contra 3, then they are not awesome enough to deserve my buying advice on video games.
All right, now look, I got a complaint about this game. I got a complaint. Dude. Here it comes. I hope you're ready. And you all probably already know what it is. I do not possess the legendary gaming skills that Justin Fick takes for granted every day of his life. So I play Contra 4 on Wuss Baby You Eat Dick mode. Where they give you 9 lives for every level, and I got my ass beat. I made it to that laser wall in the first level and died.
Duel. I mean, that's the thing. Like, let's like Contra, you know, makes it. You know, they're able to add challenge to every game, like in every, you know, every installment of the series. It's awesome. So I mean, like even it's, I was, you know, challenged. Like even playing normal is like, you know, this is something I have to step up for. So I thought it was awesome. And it's also worth noting that the manual taunts you for playing easy mode.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, these guys are Contra aficionados in charge of the ship, and I think that's awesome.
I'm just saying, for those of us without legendary gaming skills, this game is tough and punishing, and it is not going to let you wuss out and, you know, there are no continues in this game. Well, I guess there are.
You get a bunch of continues.
But, you know, it's not a game that casual gamers, I think, can get into nearly as much.
Dude, my advice, dear players, dear listeners who do not possess my gaming skills is practice, you fucking pussies. Seriously, dude, this is like what games used to be. This is old school gaming that I'm holding in my hand right now. This is like you play it and you die and you lose and you have to start over. That's how it always was. Like Castlevania, like I remember the original Castlevania, like we play it, like the first time we got to fucking level 5 was unbelievable because we couldn't beat fucking Frankenstein for the longest time. We beat him and we got to level 5 and we all orgasmed because it was such this it was like this new experience. We had ascended. you don't make it to level 5 because you ascend. And then getting to the final level after that, beating the Grim, it's like beating a level in these games is this monumentous occasion. You just don't get like for instance God of War, because you can just go through that game, you can suck as much as you want and die as much as you want, and they will start you right back there, start from checkpoint, and you will play it until you beat it. So I mean, you are meant to get through every part of the game pretty quickly, just like a movie. But, you know, not like the old school games. Like, you know, if you want the next level, you have to earn it.
All right. I got you.
So that makes me happy in my soul, and it should make everyone else happy because that's how I want the world to be, period.
All right. I say we pass this Assassin's Creed. We'll save that for next week. Does that sound good?
It's good with me.
All right.
Sounds good.
It's time for the jank. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Just Vic, what have we got for the jank this week?
Dude, looks like the magic Wiki Fairies.
I thought these were you, but I guess it's the Wiki Fairy.
No, this is Jank's left under our pillow.
All right, so what we got?
So this first one looks like it's Guitar Hero 3 shirts at Hot Topic. So Hot Topic, which is honestly a kind of a guilty pleasure for me. They supplied Justin Fick with his Metallica T-shirts in high school, and then after college they supplied him with his, you know, with his retro Nintendo shirts. They now have Guitar Hero 3 shirts. So they have one that's you know, it's got Guitar Hero 3 on it, and the other one is a picture of Lou's Inferno. So if you play, you know, Guitar Hero 3 and you select your venue, and the poster of Lou's Inferno is what's on the shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
No, it's kind of cool. I don't know if I wear this personally, but very cool. $20 at Hot Topic.
Good deal. Also, guys, you can get yourself a Two Rock shirt at GameStop. If you pre-order it, you get a free shirt. And I think some of the stores are even giving away a demo. So if you're into Two, wait, Miller, you remember when I had that Two Rock shirt in high school?
I was just about to say, the first time I ever laid eyes on Blake Buck, he had this Two Rock shirt on. It's like three sizes too big. I thought he was the biggest douchebag in the entire world.
And you were right.
And I was right.
So there you go. Get you some threads this holiday season with them janks. All right, we got a discussion this week, guys. Or are we just going to move on to the feedback?
Well, I think we need to take a moment here to since it's Christmas, you know, I'm sure the three of us have gotten some game-related Christmas gifts in the past that have made us very excited. I thought we might take a minute to review or to share these experiences with our listeners. Blake Buck, what's your favorite gaming-related Christmas moment ever go?
Oh, my God. Why am I first? Damn it. Okay, I got it because I just looked at it on the floor. I remember when I was like maybe 8 years old, we got a computer and it had Doom on it. We got Doom for Christmas.
Uh-oh.
That was the best. And now you might look back and say, geez, like 8 years old playing Doom. No, it was awesome. I remember one time I faked sick so I could stay home and play Doom. Uh-oh, Mom, it's early January and my stomach hurts. Guess I have to stay home. So I think Doom, and getting a computer and Doom was my greatest holiday Christmas video game related activity present. What about you, Justin Fick?
I've been trying to think. There's a lot of these in the Fick household. The Fick clan are connoisseurs of gaming, if you will. So I'm trying to think. Probably the best period I think I could narrow it down to would be around when, like, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo were coming out, because they pretty much came out like a year at a time. So I remember that, you know, and every year there would be a new system. So we would do Genesis 1 year, and then we get Super Nintendo another year. But the cool thing about these is normally, you know, Christmas Day, you look at, you know, look at the kids opening presents, and, you know, and after he opens up his games, he disappears with his games for the rest of the day. Not the Fick clan. The Fick clan works like this. So the Fick family back in the day actually did, you know, did Christmas morning, did a lot of people together. So we had, you know, Justin Fick, Curtis Fick, Erica Fick, you know, Mama and Papa Fick. And then for a couple of years around the same period, we had the venerable Uncle Arad. if you guys remember Uncle Arad from back in the day, would also be present at Christmas. So what happens is, and instead of Justin Fick or Curtis Fick disappearing to play games, every male in the Fick household disappeared to play games after Christmas morning. You did not see us, but you heard us. So probably the best one would have been, I'd have to say, Jesus, it's a toss up between Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. I might have to give it to Super Nintendo, and that's solely because of two games. F-Zero, which was on nonstop loop for like 3 months after we got it. and then also, surprisingly enough, if you guys remember that game ActRaiser?
Oh, yeah. ActRaiser 1 and 2, baby.
Dude, well, ActRaiser 1, I don't know why, but like every dude in the Fick household like busted a nut in his pants when they heard like the ActRaiser music. so that had us going. And then of course Justin Fick was playing his Final Fantasy 2 that came out too. So he got that, all that kind of stuff. But that was probably the best, I have to say.
All right, William Miller, I know at one point in your life you played video games. So
I did,
surely
long,
sure you have a story for us.
Long time ago I played video games, and I guess my fondest, you know, I got the Nintendo back in the day. That was pretty fun. That's back when you, like, you know, you played Nintendo like you play Nintendo Wii now. You, like, jerk the remote around all over the place, the sticks, trying to get the
dude,
man to
changed.
Jump on the screen, you know.
That doesn't change. It makes your dude go farther.
It does. It makes your dude go
faster.
So anyway, you know, there was that. There was the Genesis and Super Nintendo and all that. But I think the best moment I had was when I plugged up that Nintendo 64 on Christmas morning for the first time, and I saw that 3D on my TV. I was about to bust a nut. So the funny thing about that, though, was I got that, and then
3D gaming had been around for 10 years before then.
Look, I did not play PC games, all right? I didn't do that.
Or Star Fox.
So anyway, I see this this 3D on my TV. It was amazing. It blew my face away. And, you know, like, I guess a week after that, I found out that there weren't going to be any Final Fantasy tapes on that Nintendo 64. I went out that day and bought a PlayStation, which was also awesome because it came with that demo disc that had Tekken on it. We were like Tekken.
All right, so I know that some of our listeners out there have got their favorite holiday moments from when they were a kid. Maybe they were more recent than ours. Maybe just last year when you got Madagascar the game, you were really thrilled. We want to hear your stories. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. And speaking of feedback, it's time for feedback.
Hey, you know what? It's simple and it works.
I kind of f***ed up that segue. All right. First, guys, we have a mountain of voicemails. I don't even know who these are from. We're just going to play them beginning to end. Go.
Hey, that AI podcast bullshit name, whatever the hell that name is, their podcast is kind of like a comic strip without a punchline.
That's it?
Good.
Thank you, whoever sent that in.
Next.
Very clever.
Dude, I could have told you that.
Next up, we got Matt K.
This is Matt K, a.k.a. Scrooge McDuck. Blake Buck,
uh-oh,
you are a f***ing retard. I sent you two listener line voicemails before episode 32. And at the end of episode 32, you say some dumb shit like, we don't get no listener voicemails. I want nothing but that next week. Dude, I sent you two. I sent you a scum, and I was the one that called you out on the Street Fighter thing that you said you'd mention later, and you did not. You are dumb. You failed on that, sir. Anyway, I hope you played it. I hope this meets your satisfaction. Take care, and keep up the great work. By the way, Andre was an excellent guest. He is the Winston Zeddemore of the Ghostbusters.
What?
Later.
I think he means if we were to be compared with the Ghostbusters, he would be our Winston.
Oh, I see. Okay. I just want to go back and hear that impression of me real quick.
On that, sir.
Wait.
Anyway, I hope you played it. I hope this...
Wait.
I'm a Street Fighter thing that get no listener voicemails. I want nothing but that next week.
That's me. That's what I sound like. All right, let's go to the next one.
He is the Winston Zeddemore.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. Nexus 4 and 3-2 here from the forums. You said to give you a call, so hell, why not? William, I support you in supposed strange food. I, in fact, put mayonnaise on my hot chips. Yes.
Oh.
I know it's odd, that's okay.
No. Oh.
Andre was hilarious. You should have him back sometime. But on to a more serious matter, the Monglers are failing you. The podcast on iTunes doesn't have any reviews, so you need to get the forums on that straight away. Blake, nice imaginative costume, though mullets, not cool. I don't care what you say, that's what anyone says. Mullets are not cool. My mother gave me one as a child. I'm scarred emotionally for life. She's a good day. Yeah. In any case, happy Thanksgiving to everyone there. Your bloody cheeseburger and hailing yank.
Dude, I think it's funny that we're finally digging into our voicemails and they all say Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. All right, so I got a confession to make, all right, and I'm ashamed to do this, but I have to do it. Blake Buck has cut his mullet.
Dude, what brought this on?
Look,
tell us this anecdote.
Look, there's no anecdote. Blake Buck realized that, the mullet is not a pussy magnet. It is a pussy repellent. And I'm back on the market, baby. I got to be looking around, shopping around, looking for my A game. So I decided...
Looking for your A game?
Because
there.
I can't find it.
It's not
no.
on.
No, it's
he
not on. I got to find it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I cut the mullet. And look, William Miller knows what I'm talking about. I've been kicking a few ideas around.
He has.
About this topic. So you guys...
About what? Like a,
look,
like a replacement
and they're still there,
William.
I ain't giving up on this idea.
Is that what we're talking about? Replacement hairstyle for the mullet?
No, we're talking... Look, like this is off the record, Lucas, but I'm thinking about perhaps starting a Blake Bucks... as a little side project. Once a week, Blake Buck will... his... much to his chagrin.
Dude, you know anyway, needs to happen. So William Miller, you said you went with him on one of these excursions.
I did.
You need to be secretly filming these.
What?
You need to be secretly filming these for a video podcast.
Man, we should have.
No,
we
see, have. You think like I'm thinking about like taking like some like audio recording equipment when I. Like I've got a whole bunch of ideas kicking around in
like
my head.
A
I'm not
boom
sure.
Mic is a real. I hear Blake Buck.
No, cause see my phone, William Miller, ass lick.
Okay.
My phone can record sound pretty well. I think even from my pocket, it could pick up the second half of my. All right. So I don't know. I'm thinking about some different things. Anyway, so yes, the mullet has been cut. But it will return one day. One day it'll come back. So be on the lookout.
It will return right, when the world is shrouded in darkness and a hero will arise.
Blake, it's Wazoo. I was listening to the last show and you did that thing on the end with Andre. And I went by William Miller's suggestion and put peanuts in my Coke. It's freaking awesome, man. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. That's awesome.
Look at that, son.
I just
like, that's right.
Carry around peanuts with me. I pop in my Coke every time I have it. It's great. You
that's right.
It. Like, it's really, wow. So, I guess William Miller isn't the crazy one for once.
See, all you sons of bitches, look, I was right.
Look,
I was right. You were wrong. Okay,
look,
it does taste awesome.
Look, who agreed with you? Wazoo, he dumb. Everybody knows that.
Wazoo, you my new best friend.
All right, next email. Next voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Matt Case, Cruz McDuck on the forum. Wanted to just notice that the next episode 33, it's almost like it's a landmark, because last time y'all made it to an episode 33, you quit to do something even better. So I was wondering if... after this episode, you're going to quit and do something even better than Best Damn Podcast Ever, or if you're just going to take the current show and just blast it into the stratosphere. Anyway, congratulations on making it to 33 episodes, and looking forward to many more. Later.
That's an interesting point. We are passing that landmark.
Well, fear not. The podcast will go on, though we're all sort of dabbling in other ventures. You'll see more of that later. All of which will benefit you, the listener, directly because, you know, we love you guys out there.
Oh yeah.
But you know what pisses me off is that the Joystick podcast, which is far inferior, okay? They're up to episodes in their 30s. I think they just released 31 not too long ago, and they are catching up to us. We cannot let that happen. Okay? They're younger, they suck. I mean, they're not that bad. But look, anything compared to us, okay?
Asshole.
And we just can't let that happen.
Dude, well, actually, let it be known that we are working on a secret new podcast. It's called This Podcast is Better Than the Best Damn Podcast Ever. So you thought this was the best one ever? You just hold on to your butts.
The Lord Cast. All right. Let's see. I think they have one more, but I think it's retarded. Let me play it and see what happens. I think it's just fart noise.
You know what this to make your game?
This goes on for like 4 minutes. Thank you, sir, for the call.
Thank you, Sipping the Swede.
All right, now it's time for... Oh, wait, well, now we got our emails. So who wants to take his first email?
All right. We got Night Shadow writes to us. Have we heard from Night Shadow before? I don't believe we have.
No, because if we had, I would have made fun of his name already.
Yeah, I figured we would have remembered it for that reason. So anyway, Night Shadow writes and says, "Hey, I'd just like to write in that no putting salt on watermelon isn't insane, but not common in the United States. See, you sons of bitches, I'm not crazy."
Look,
he goes on to say,
look.
"More common in Japan. The idea for doing such a thing is due to the nature of salt enhancing and bringing out the natural flavors of food, is why you find stuff like..." I swear to God. He, even in your soda pop and your ice cream, and yes, it's how I prefer to eat watermelon. Suck it, Blake Buck. Suck it, Justin Fish.
No! Look, I know you wrote this email in secret. William's like, "Ooh, what's my pseudonym gonna be?
Night Shadow.
How about him?" They never gonna suspect this.
They never gonna know.
All right, we got Zap Brannigan. He says, "Hey, fellas, I have to agree with the rest of the forums. Andre Meadows was hilarious. He brought lots of power, and I dare say lots of black power. Wah, wah. Thank you, Zab Brannigan, to the show, and was really awesome as a result. I think BDPE needs more guests, and it's of his caliber. I have to admit, as a white male, I love chicken and watermelon. I can't say that I eat it with salt or any crazy shit like that, but it was awesome. I have a Jewish friend who loves bacon, so there you go.
I love bacon.
That's totally... anyway, keep the heat rolling. I'm looking forward to any more secret heat in the near future. We've always got secret heat a-cooking, ladies. So don't fear not.
We should definitely get Mr. Meadows back on the show, though, sometimes.
That's true. He was awesome. He was really awesome. Now, I was trying to think of a way to insert this little anecdote. I told Blake Bug about this a little earlier today, but William Miller has been recruited to play music for Jesus. So...
Wait, what? Yeah.
So this sort of ties into this, but so I play guitar, right? Me and Aaron, we're playing guitar outside my house. Like we play on the porch, you know, when it's nice outside. And all of a sudden this man comes running down the street and he says, "We need your skills to play for the Lord." So he's like, "Show up to our church, St. John's Baptist Church, the Holy Fortress," is what this thing is called, all right? And we'll see what you can do. So William Miller shows up to the Holy Fortress, right? And I'm probably the only white person in maybe five blocks in any direction, okay? And this church is huge. It's like what you see on TV, you know, in big churches, big gospel churches on television. So William Miller thought he was just going to sit down with the music director and play. No. I was thrust in the middle of a service, and there's like 50 member gospel choir. Like I'm playing the whole service. It's crazy. Preacher jumping up and down. Like it was wild. It was you watch like I don't even know. You watch what was that movie? I don't even know. Watch a movie with black church in it, and that's exactly.
I was living in sin. Like. And I found the Lord.
Yeah, just dude, it's just like that, man. And look. Look, I love Jesus now because at black church, he is fun. I love it.
That's a good point. Like a white church, Jesus
black
is
Jesus
dead.
Is fun.
That's all. Dead people aren't fun.
Dude, WASP church, I'm telling you, man, WASP church sucks. Like, you go to WASP church, you leave feeling bad about yourself, about your life. Like, you go to black gospel Baptist church, and it's like you're jumping and dancing the whole time, and it's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I did their Christmas candlelight service. That shit was 4.5 hours long. When I was playing guitar 4.5 hours, my fingers about to fall off. Like I didn't get to stop the whole time, dude. Amazing. So anyway,
that's awesome, man. All right, so just big take his next email.
All right, so we got an email from Tesseract. He writes, "Hey BDPE crew, I thought you might be at least mildly entertained by this bit of dialogue from Paper Mario." And there's a link to an image here that I'm going to click.
So he's got a screenshot here of Mario talking to a big flower. It says, if you use this miracle water on any planet, it will grow like gangbusters.
I also would like to note that this photo looks like it was just like taken with a camera phone off his TV.
That's probably what it was.
No screen cap. Awesome.
See like little interlaced lines on there.
Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate the thought that someone was engrossed in an RPG and actually stopped and thought, "Hey, this reminds me of the best damn podcast ever."
That's Blam. Pretty sweet,
guys. There's another email that has a image in it. Don't click it until I tell you to. Okay, like further down. Don't do it. Don't click it yet.
Right. You know, wait a minute. I'm just gonna say, like, I did not click the image, but I read the little blurb, and I think I know exactly what it is.
Save it. All right. Anthony A, I've been listening to I've been listening to BDPE since episode 18, and I just picked up an amazing jank at my local EB. All 13 Command and Conquer games, including Command and Conquer 3, for $30 Canadian. What is that? That's like $4 US.
Dude, that's jank.
Anyway, once again, I'll be able to jack off into the RTS soup of greatness. Give it a good one. P.S.
That's a lovely metaphor.
P.S. Is it just me, or was Tanya only hot in the 90s? Was she like the live actress? She's like the bad live action. He's like the right hand to Kane or whatever. Or, wait, what's his name?
Yeah, it was Kane.
You know, the bad guy? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with Command and Conquer, but I know who you're talking about. She had titties. Thumbs up on titties. Oh, Willie Miller, you got to take this from our good buddy.
All right, Christian C., finally, he's not dead. He writes back, says, sorry, guys, it's been so long, been busy. Plus, I had to get to therapy after listening to episode 30, so that didn't help. Oh, God, he might have cancer again or something. just listened to shows 31 and 32, and I'm glad to see you guys are back in good form. The Portland ride happened at the end of September, and it was great, although very cold and rainy. They closed the 100-mile course because of icy conditions, so instead I did the 70-mile without stopping, even to pee. He's hardcore. And the weekend after, did 100 miles with 7,000 feet of climbing to stay true to my word. I also got to meet Lance's coach, Chris Carmichael, and I told him I was a four-time cancer survivor, and he asked me for my autograph. He was really nice, you guys. He was a really nice guy. We were able to raise $7,873.80 towards purchase of cancer face.
Dude, punching cancer in the face.
There we go. Towards punching cancer in the face. big thanks to listeners Tim G, Brian B, and Mike A for their donations. You know what that means, guys. We've got to run them shirts.
It's shirt time.
We promised.
Got to go to the presses.
The presses. Also, I want to say that Andre Black Nerd Comedy Dude from episode 32 is my hero. The same thing happened to us Asian guys. The only chance we ever get to be on the cover of a game is if it's Kung Fu Game Sequel 2000. other than Asian characters in games seem to be either nerdy hacker dudes, because of course we love math and computers, or we're in a stall selling rice. Have you ever seen an Asian guy in a sports game? Question mark. No, it's only black.
Yao Ming.
Yao Ming. No, he's too tall to fit on the screen. So Andre, you've inspired me. I'm going to register a new domain name, AsianJockComedy.com. And all those Asian guys who are actually athletes that don't like math and don't know kung fu can all bond. Anyways, thanks for being... thanks you guys again for all the support. Christian C., a.k.a. Chumboy.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, man. And we are going to send those shirts out very soon. I'm going to go... Let's see. When am I going? Probably after... when are we... We're doing the live show thing in early January. So after that and I get back to Oxford, I will go to the shirt company and print off the first batch of BDPE shirts.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah,
excellent.
Send them out to you guys. All right. Let's see.
I'll take this next one here.
All right.
So Jeremy S. writes in, I was listening to episode 20 today, and I started thinking about Itagaki Street. Now, with all the thousands of streets in Japan, there must be a real Itagaki Street somewhere. If there are any Japanese listeners who have seen an Itagaki Street, I would love a picture. But what I'd really like is to suggest a contest for BDPE. It would be a Photoshop contest where people make their own comical artist's rendition of the real Itagaki Street. Any other rules would be made by the holy trifecta of gaming.
Dude, that would be awesome if we could not only get a photo of a real street named Itagaki, but then we have a Photoshop contest based around it.
Be pretty sweet. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I guess it was episode 20, we thought up of a game called Itagaki Street, where you're a woman and you have to run down Itagaki Street without getting raped by Itagaki, which is really hard to do if you're, you know, within 10 kilometers of the guy.
All right, our next email comes from... Oh, wait. Did I miss one? Oh, okay. Our last email comes from Ryan M. He says, Blake, I just left you guys a review on iTunes. What do you think? I don't know. Apparently, our reviews... We used to have a whole bunch of reviews. Maybe they got erased or something. I don't know. I'll go check it out later. This is from his review. First off, this is a show about general video game news and discussion. However, there's so much more contained within. BDPE has three hosts who all happen to be the gods of gaming. Blake Buck.
Funny how that worked out.
Blake Buck, bringer of love, represents laughter, music, joy, and tears. William Miller, bringer of wisdom, represents truth and understanding, wit and wisdom fair. Justin Fick, bringer of balance, represents sensibility, justice, moderation, and balance. Apparently there's balance there twice. Oh, no, just for him. I read it twice. There is no one named Wayne, sadly. This show should be experienced by everyone as it should be, as it transcends reality and expands the mind. Also, Blake Buck's laugh both causes and cures cancer. And he also attached... Now, guys, he also attached us an image, which we have been looking for many, many... I think we sent out the call about a year ago for this image. It was like we were talking about this image about creamed corn and a young lady... And a large man.
Oh, I know. And we couldn't find this one.
I don't need to click this link. And...
no. So if you want to, it's very non-G rated, definitely X rated. But for those of you who listen to the show and remember us talking about this like a year ago, you can find it at bestdamnpodcastever.com/images/corn.jpg.
Definitely not work safe.
Yeah, that's
definitely
not going to be in the album art. You're going to have to type that in yourself. Look, I'm bringing it up right now. I got to see it one more time. That's me. That's what I want to be when I grow up, right there.
Dude, that reminds me just now. Just your reaction to opening that. I take it, Blake Buck, that you have checked out the whole two girls one cup phenomenon.
Oh yeah, I saw that the other day.
Dude, we need a Blake Buck reaction video to two girls one cup.
No, I'm just gonna make my own. Actually, come to think of it, for those of you, I guess it's already in the feed, but that flower video with hordes of orcs is not far off.
Dude, we need twogirlsonebuck.com.
Uh-oh. And that domain is now registered. Copyright Blake Buck. Like, you don't even know. These gears are rattling in my head, all right? Meaning they are loose and not working. All right, it's time for Stomp! All right, guys, I've got the best goddamn stump. I thought of it earlier today. I am so ready. Somebody lay some stump action on me.
All right, Blake Buck. I know a game that you have absolutely not played.
Oh, you do?
I do, and it's actually a new game. It just came out.
Okay, lay it on
me. My game this week is called Passage.
Dude, I know this game.
Man, this sounds like some bullshit, like, Mac RPG nonsense ass game that nobody's ever played.
Justific, what is Passage?
Dude, Passage is some really pretentious, artsy indie game.
Oh, dude, god, like, damn.
It absolutely is. And you know what? I played this game. Okay, so we sat down, like Dave, my friend Dave, right?
I hate this so much. I'm about to eat a Nestle Crunch instead of listening to this.
No, my friend Dave, like, Dave, is he's kind of like, I don't know, he kind of likes these little artsy things, right? These little art games that, so we play this game, and you got your little man, and his little pixelated graphics or whatever, and you walk around until you die. That's the game, in a nutshell. And the first thing I had to ask was, where's the shoot button, baby? There isn't one.
Oh, his crunch bar is so good.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
So I go to this guy's website that made this game, and he's got a link to a creator's statement. If your f***ing game needs an artist statement to explain what it is and why I should play it, it's going to blow. I'm going to hate it.
Well, game. I actually went and read this whole thing, passage, the passage of time, and every little thing in this game symbolizes something about life, and you can get and your spouse and not being able to do the things you can do without your spouse with your spouse, blah blah blah. And I'm like, dude, there's no blood, there's no codes, there's no nothing in this game.
Oh man, that was the best
proof
crunch bar
that games
ever had.
Games taken to a pure art form suck ass.
They do. They
don't do it. I need mindless shooting.
This unit is not labeled for resale. For nutrition information, call 1-800-258-6728.
Now, were you eating a Crunch Bar, or were you eating that, like, cardboard display behind Crunch Bars?
I'm not sure. Oh, God.
All right, Justific, what's your jank?
All right, well, let me preface this by saying that I am pissed off. Because I had, like, I know I thought of, like, a good five or six f***ing stumps between this show and last show. And I had them all in my stickies, and my sticky is now blank.
Lame. I'll buy you some time, because I got a great one. All Justin right. Fick might get this. I know for a damn sure William Miller won't. My game for you is called Forsaken.
Oh, I think I know this one.
You think
I know this
Come
one.
Come on, Justin Fick. William Miller, let's hear what William Miller thinks it is. Go.
Well, let me think. Okay, Forsaken. Who does that? Demons.
Okay.
So it's an RPG with demons. So I'm thinking 2D or probably 3D satanic elements. You got a little man, and you drive your little man around and cut demons. else you'll be forsaken.
Very clever, William Miller. what you got, Justin Fick?
I'm still racking my brain because I think I remember this from TV commercials back in the day. I want to say
it had TV commercials.
There's a TV commercial.
In fact, it had a very unusual marketing campaign. That's what reminded me of it the other day.
I don't remember what it was. Like, I want to say it was definitely a 3D game, either like a first person shooter or like something more like Descent. It was one like something
absolutely.
Like those.
I think I'm gonna give that to you. It was exactly like Descent. You flew a flying sort of like motorbike around. It was set in the future. You had like you could pick a different character, and they had like these sort of motorcycle hovercraft things that you flew around, and you could shoot at. It had a strong multiplayer component where you would shoot each other. It was on like N64, PlayStation, possibly Dreamcast, and PC. And it was an all right game. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was kind of fun. I got my fun out of it. But the main thing I remember from it, the advertising campaign was just like this naked chick. Imagine like a desert void wasteland, right? It's all gray, black and white and gray. And it says Forsaken. And then on the side, it's like... It's like 40% of a naked chick. Like you can see, like she's standing, I'm trying to describe how this looked, but it would have been like as far, she was standing on the left, right, and you're seeing as far left until nipple, and then it cuts off on the edge of the page. And she was sprayed with all that, like, you know, model juice or whatever. And it was gross. And by that, I mean hot. And I remember, like, in seventh grade, I was like, oh, I can't be looking at this in fifth period. That's bad.
Dude, this is like video game nerd smut growing up.
Yeah, it was.
You hid that foldout in your Nintendo Power during that study hall, didn't you? I seen you.
So, yeah, Forsaken, not a terrible game, but the marketing campaign, ridiculous. All right, Jess Fick, what you got
for
us?
So I actually did remember one of the games that I had picked out. All right, so you guys ready? And I picked this one out just based off of the name. My stump for you this time is called Scat.
Scat. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, goddamn, this sounds real familiar. This is an arcade game?
You know, it might have been, but I'm thinking of an NES game.
Huh. Wait. Was this the game that had like mosquitoes in it, and like you played like a mosquito or some type of flying bug creature, like a fly or something?
No, not quite, no.
Ah, oh, goddammit. this better be like scat porn. That's what
That's what I thought it was. Cause I remember seeing, like, I saw the ROM for it, and I was like, dude, this is like one of those, like, homebrew, like, retro-programmed, like, NES games, but it's actually, like, pictures of pornography. So, but actually, like, I do remember, you know, hearing about a game called Scat. It's, you know, S period, C period, A period, T period. Stands for Special Cybernetic Attack Team.
That's almost bad as, remember, SCARS, Supercomputer Animal Racing? That was a few stumps back. All right, so what are you doing, Scat?
It's a side-scrolling shoot 'em up, and you're, like, this floating dude, and you get to shoot people, and you get to pick, you know... You like the two people you can pick between. You get Arnold and Sigourney, and it's pretty standard, you know, side scrolling shoot 'em up. They're actually pretty good. It's probably like it's a pretty good game that you've never played. But yeah, I mean nothing incredibly special with the gameplay. I just picked it out because the name reminds me of fetish.
Okay, I can dig that. All right, guys. That's a stump. You know what time it is now. We got to call back our good buddy. Wait, I was going to say Joe Ricci, but it's Joe Ricci.
Joe Ricci. All right. Let me get him on the horn here.
I'm about to eat me another Crunch Bar. We got to hurry this up.
Hello?
Joe Ricci.
Yep.
Have you completed your challenge?
I completed a challenge.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It sounds like improvisation.
Improvisation challenge. All right. Well, let's see.
My original problem was that FaceApp JPEG wasn't working very well for me.
All right.
Because I'm an idiot.
All right.
So I found a different picture of Blake Buck,
and I printed that off. But that picture is too small, so I found other pictures and I put his face on both both challenges, but they're not on actual people.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
I'm sure you'll like them, though.
All right. Well, let's see these pictures. Do you have them online somewhere?
I have them on my blow bucket, and I was just going to put them on your phone.
Oh, I see it.
I did end up finding face.jpg about 5 minutes before time was up.
I especially like that Santa one there. That's pretty good.
That was definitely the best one.
Well, now while these are amusing, they do not meet the criteria to pass battle. Now, these are pretty good. These are pretty good. So we might have some other challenge for you later down the road. We're going to keep your name in the list, so you better be ready.
I guarantee I will meet that challenge.
Okay, so a gallant effort, and thanks for playing. We're going to call you back.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have a good holiday.
My buzzer bomb for failure.
Blake Buck.
Uh-oh. Oh, damn it. It's not ready.
I keep the buzzer bomb a failure.
Wait for it.
Effort, but sadly,
now it's worth noting that Joe Ricci specifically asked us to buzzer bomb him after failure.
That's a noble thing. I mean, it takes a real man to face the buzzer bomb willingly. I mean, he could have gotten off with no buzzer bomb because God knows Blake Buck is lazy. I mean, so
look, it happens. All right, look, my balls hurt. Let's finish the show. He's in my normal podcasting chair. All right, well, that's us for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Man, that was a good show, Blake
good,
Buck.
Good
I'm
show.
Glad to be doing shows again, and I'm really, really excited for a live podcast in Savannah with fans from a bar. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com so I can go.
Fly Fick out here, please.
Or buy booze.
Or buy booze.
Because Blake Buck needs a lot of booze to be entertaining.
Blake Buck has found a new liquor of choice. Why don't you regale the tale for us there, Blake Buck?
Blake Buck does not drink liquor, all right? He drinks Christian herbal supplements.
Blake Buck, what is your new sour mash of choice?
Wild turkey!
Oh my God, dude. Are you freaking serious?
So, not only that, I drink it straight without ice. That is the only
Jesus
way to enjoy
Christ.
It.
Dude, you're making me sick just
oh,
thinking about
man.
That.
Oh, it's
so
great.
Blake Buck purchased this
101
stuff.
101 proof.
He purchased this stuff because it had the best goblet that it came with.
Oh, man. Look. It separates the boys from the men, all right? Yeah. Oh, I want a mix. Can I have a vodka cranberry? No. 101 proof minimum in a glass, no ice, straight, zero chaser. That is what I'm all about.
Blake Buck, this is coming from somebody that drinks that spiced rum shit.
Look, dude, I drink to win now. I drink to win.
I'm pretty sure everybody loses with Wild Turkey, Blake Buck.
All right, so if you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our listener line. We had six of them. I'm normally saying here, nobody ever calls a listener line. Fantastic work, this show, guys. We want even more for next week. So 845-BATTLE-9 is the number to dial. Also, if you want to sign up for Battle, send us an email with the word Battle somewhere in it, in the subject or whatever, and with your phone number and your time zone and your name. And you could, too, perhaps fail as Joe Ricci did today, or maybe ascend to the echelons of battle victors. I think there's only been maybe three people who have won battle.
There's only been a handful. Now, also, handful. If you hear any battle on the show and think you can do better than the person that has failed or that has won, you can do a BDPE side quest for your own chance at glory and fame. So if you can complete the battle, you can snatch the gold for yourself. So this week's
battle.
It's not quite as good because you get to plan ahead of time and you know, but it is a side quest. It's not as good, but you can live in infamy at least for a little while. So this week's battle was print out a picture, face.jpg, put it on a live Santa Claus.
Or a nativity scene.
Or on a nativity scene and photograph it. So, all you Monglers out there who want a taste of glory, go out there and do it.
Now, here's the catch, though, of the side quest. Because you have as much time as you want to plan these, like battle normally is about completing the challenge at a satisfactory level within the time limit. Now, since you have no time limit, you need to really impress us with your battle chops.
Maybe you could print out a Blake Buck mask for your Santa to wear. So get as creative as you like. Also, guys, you want to send us any donations? Again, I always need more booze, and Justin Fick always needs more plane tickets. It's donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com for PayPal. You'll find a button on the site and in the show notes to do that. And also, don't forget to vote for us at Podcast Alley. Very important. Every month, don't be slacking. You're like, oh, is this December? No. You better vote this month, December and January. Get your votes out there. Also, we got to thank the Wiki Fairy Jr. for his help putting together the wiki this week, and the old Wiki Fairy as well, who apparently is now back around. I thought we had lost you forever, Wiki Fairy. So, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick,
and we will see you next time.
I used to be so much more open-minded.
Oh my god, I have so many f***ing stories for you guys, like...
And I used to like to fall in love.
Oh, I need to go grab my book.
And they tell me I was so much sweeter and kind.
Oh my god, so much heat has happened.
But once is enough.
Like, Justin Fick, I don't know if you heard this news or not, but Blake Buck gave Woman the drop kick.
Uh-oh.
Not only did Blake Buck put Woman on notice, he destroyed Woman's face. It's over. It's done.
Because once is enough. And once is enough for anybody. Once is enough to fall in love. Mm-hmm. Once is enough to feel your heartbeat. Once is enough.
He had a mission accomplished party in his house.
It's like we made this banner, you know, like the one on the battleship with George Bush. Oh man, it was awesome.
But once is enough.
We just played Rock Band and drank all night.
Nice.
Two things she would have not approved of, which is good.
And once is enough for anybody.
Three things. Fun. Does not approve of that.
Oh, fun, right.
Once is enough to feel your...
Dude, if Woman does not approve of Rock Band, Woman must go. That should be a seminal BDPE rule.
So baby, you don't have to tell me two times. You can save your sweet breath because I saw the way you looked away from me. And once is enough. But a man, he can't help but learn his lesson. But a man, he can't help the stars above. And a man can't help but go around messing with once is enough. And once is enough for anybody. Once is enough to fall in love. Mm-hmm. Once is enough to feel your heartbeat. Once is enough.
Golden Axe.
Golden Axe.
Golden Axe. By the byway,
won't you tell me you do me this? Golden Axe.
Golden Axe.
Golden Axe. Well, take your head just one time and turn it my way. Cause once is enough. Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. I'm Blake Buck. Oh my god, how do we start off the show? I don't even can remember.
I'm Blake Buck, co-hosting with me this week.
That's right, okay, I forgot what to say.
Try that again.
I thought you were joking.
No, we haven't done a show in so long, I legitimately forgot how it goes.
Once is enough.